Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Cy Harris, from the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present Eavesdroppers in Eden, starring Susan Peters. Yes, we have a warm-hearted story tonight, with the unexpected kind of situation and plot that could be found only in life itself. Do you think eavesdropping is wrong? Well, we believe you'll be surprised to hear what it leads to in tonight's exciting story. And all of us here in the studio are especially happy about our guest star for tonight, too, because she is someone we all love, talented and charming, Susan Peters. Hello, Susan, hello, and our heartiest welcome to you.
Thank you, Cy. It's wonderful to be on the Hallmark program. I'm especially delighted with the story tonight, and you probably are, too.
Oh, why me, Susan?
Because it's such a good story and such a perfect choice for a Hallmark program. It's all about the importance of friendliness. Should show a lot of people why they should send those thoughtful Hallmark cards to their friends.
Why, you're right about that, Susan. For Hallmark cards do help people to be thoughtful and friendly. Let's drop in now at the lonely ranch on the prairie, where a young bride has gone to live. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring us the dramatic story of life on this Reader's Digest radio edition, Eavesdroppers in Eden, starring Susan Peters.
Someone's calling the Lawtons. I gotta hear this.
That was Jenny, our cook. She actually went over to the wall telephone, lifted the receiver, and started eavesdropping on the party line. She did it right in front of me and without shame. I didn't want to speak to her about it. Not then. I'd been at the ranch for only 2 days. I was a bride. And when my husband Tom had told me that Jenny would be my responsibility, I wanted to consult with him before reprimanding her. So, I waited until he came in from the field.
Well, darling.
Hello, Tom.
I'm hungry and in need of a kiss. Have you got one handy?
You could try this one.
How you like being a rancher's wife, you, eh, huh?
I like being your wife.
Everything go all right today?
Oh, fine. You know, Tom, I thought I'd never get used to getting up so early every morning. But now that I've done it for just 2 days, I know I'm going to love doing it forever.
Greater love has no woman.
It's the air here and the shadows when the sun is low in the morning. You know, Tom, I think you could even see more clearly in this prairie air.
Well, you can. You can, Joy. And I'm so happy that you like it.
Oh, I do.
Well, then everything's fine.
Everything's fine, Tom, except one thing.
Ah, what is it?
It's Jenny.
Jenny? Gee, I'm surprised. I always felt she was a wonderful cook.
It isn't her cooking, Tom. It's something she did today. She eavesdropped.
Eavesdropped?
Yes, the party line telephone rang. Wasn't our ring, but she took the receiver off the hook and she listened.
Well, now, I wouldn't worry about that.
But it's dishonest, Tom. It's wrong.
But Jenny's a ranch woman.
I really don't see what difference that makes.
Well, the standards of right and wrong may be a little different here from what you've been used to in the city.
Eavesdropping is wrong anywhere.
Maybe, but everyone does it here. What'd you do about it?
Nothing. I wanted to wait until I could talk to you.
I don't know what to say. Jenny is your employee now, not mine.
You mean that I can deal with the situation here exactly as I would in the city?
You can try.
I can try?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you don't think I'll succeed?
Well, I don't know. You might. But I wouldn't push Jenny too hard if I were you. Remember, she's a ranch woman.
Jenny. Why, Jenny, what are you doing?
Shh.
Jenny, are you listening when I'm somebody else talking on that party line?
Shh.
Jenny, I forbid you to do that. That's better.
Oh, I just hung up because of Sue talking.
Jenny, do you know that's a disgusting habit you have?
What, listening in on the party line?
Yes, it's disgraceful.
Why, Mrs. Everybody listens. That was about Ellison's ditch breaking up Dry Holloway. The darn thing flooded the road. Old man Thayer's stuck in his truck with a load of hogs, and Jim Anderson's gone down there with a team to pull him out.
Jenny, I'm not interested in other people's business. That has absolutely nothing to do with me or with you either.
Oh, but, Mrs., it does. Our trucks was coming that way with a cottonseed cake. If they get stuck, it'll take a block and tackle to get them out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we better do something about
Don't
it.
Don't you worry. All we have to do is ring down the line.
Who are you calling?
Everybody. Hello? Hello? Y'all listening? Fine. This here's Jenny at Cole's Farm. Yeah. Y'all heard about Ellison's ditch breaking? Yeah. Well, will you head off Mr. Cole's trucks and send him up through the fields? Thanks.
Do you mean to say that they all lifted the receiver when they rang?
Naturally.
Well, I think that's terrible.
It's darn lucky for us. We won't have to worry about them trucks now.
Yes, that's true. But, Jenny, now just because in this one instance it worked out well does not mean that eavesdropping is any less immoral.
Immoral?
Yes. Oh, I know you don't mean anything by it, Jenny, but it's not right nevertheless. And you must stop doing it.
I must what? Now, Miss Claw, I'm not going to stop, and you better make up your mind not to ask me to ever again.
Jenny, you and I have gotten along pretty well, haven't we?
Yes.
I want you to understand, Jenny, before I say what I have to say, that I think you're a fine cook and a fine, loyal woman.
Well, thank you.
But now I have to remind you that I, after all, am your employer.
I know that.
And I forbid you to eavesdrop on the telephone.
No employer's gonna forbid me to do nothing when it ain't none of her business.
Do I have to remind you that this is my telephone, Jenny?
No.
Well, then?
Land's sake.
Jenny, that's not our ring.
No, Mrs. Dane, but I'm gonna listen just the same. You know, it's a pretty darn lonesome life on a ranch. And, well, you listen on the party line and you don't get no news. You just gotta get used to it, Mrs. You'll even have to come to it. You wait.
Well, I gave up. I even learned to joke with my husband about Jenny's eavesdropping. But that didn't mean that I approved. I just tried not to catch Jenny at it. But she had the disturbing habit of telling me what she'd heard.
Well, if that don't beat tarnation for cussedness. You know what I heard on the party line, Mrs.? Dr. Perkins won't go and bring Miss Burton's baby into the world just because he hasn't been paid for her last five babies.
Good heavens. Well, we better go and help Mrs. Burton, Jenny.
Oh, no need for that. Grandma Bassett will go. She's the closest.
Well, she may not know about it.
Don't worry. She knows.
I had a picture in my mind of every cook and maidservant on the party line listening whenever anyone made a call. Somehow I managed to pretend to myself that the other ranchers' wives were exempt from this vice. Well, I found out differently. It was one Sunday afternoon when Tom and I went calling on Jim and Mary Ellison.
Well, well, well. Tom and Huey. Come right in.
Well, thanks, Jim. How are things?
Good. Ever since the government lowered the grazing fees.
Where's Mary, Jim?
I'm right here. The girl's off this afternoon. I've been busy in the kitchen.
Well, let's not just stand here. Come in, folks. Come into the living room.
Well, now, you men folks can go to the living room. I know what you want. A good game of checkers and a lot of talk about crops.
Now, there's a wife that understands things.
Well, now, I don't know. I like to have the women folk around.
Thank you, darling.
Nonsense. Now, you go in and play your checkers. You come with me and we'll fix up some eats for these fellas.
All right. Now, what'll we make?
Oh, I've got everything all made and arranged on these trays here. I just said all that to get you out in the kitchen alone with me.
What for?
Oh, you know what for. Tell me how you feel about it, Huey.
Feel about what?
Why, about becoming a mother. Mary!
How did you know that?
Well, naturally I know.
But I haven't told anyone yet.
Well, you told the doctor.
But the doctor didn't tell you, did he?
Oh, no, of course not. But when you called him, I was listening on the party line. Everybody was. Why, everybody knows it.
I was amazed. Mary Ellison, another rancher's wife, another woman much like myself, listening into private telephone conversations. And I realized then that it wasn't just the cooks, but their mistresses as well who snooped. And that's what I called it. Snooped on their neighbors. Well, I would never do that. And I never did. For a long time. But after the baby was born, I must admit I became more lonely than I'd been before. I was confined to the house more, and I found myself talking more often to Jenny.
Baby's asleep now, Mrs.
Fine. Do you know, I never seem to have four.
You're leading up to saying that you want to hear some news, Mrs.
I'm afraid that's true, Jenny.
Well, there ain't much news. Ms. Lawton made an appointment with the dentist in town. The Kittredges bought a new talking machine, and the Ellison's mowing machine broke down.
Oh, and this season, too. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Now, you're pretty curious these days about things.
What do you mean?
Oh, just that you're always asking for news. You know, you're getting to be a real ranch woman. You're getting interested in what goes on the party line.
No, I'm not. As I told you before, Jenny, private communication is sacred.
And sacred things is mighty interesting.
It's just that... Frankly, Jenny, I'm lonely here.
I know it.
I don't want you to think that I'm dissatisfied with ranch life. I'm not, but...
I know. You're lonely.
I love the stretches of space here, the air and all the buds bursting in springtime and the leaves falling in autumn. I love the feeling of usefulness that goes with being ranch people. The feeling that back in the east, in the cities, and out on the west coast, there are millions of people depending for their very lives on what my husband does every day in the fields. Yes, and what you and I do around the kitchen house, Jenny.
Land sakes, that's a solemn thought.
Oh, excuse me. I haven't expressed that even to Tom. But it's what I feel, Jenny. Only, sometimes...
Sometimes,
I'd like to have a neighbor living just across the road. They're 50 feet from our place. Do you know what I mean, Jenny?
Hmm.
Another woman who would drop in once in a while, who'd bring over a jar of preserves, perhaps, and talk with me for a half hour or so and take back some of the butter I just churned.
I'm sorry you told me this right now, Mrs., because, well, makes it harder for me to tell you something that I gotta tell you.
What is it, Jenny?
Well, you know, I've been keeping company with Ted Hoskins for 12 years now.
I know.
Well, I'm gonna be leaving you, Mrs.
Getting married?
That's right.
Why, Jenny, I'm awfully glad.
I hope you won't be too lonesome without me, Mrs.
Oh, of course not. I'll be all right, Jenny.
You can try listening into the party line. It brings your neighbors closer to you.
I'll never do that, Jenny.
Hiya.
Oh, land sakes. You home already, Mr. Cole? I better go fix up.
What's the matter, Huey?
With me? Nothing.
Well, you look as if something was the matter. Did you have any unpleasantness with Jenny?
Oh, of course not. But, Tom, Jenny's going to get married.
Well, good for Jenny.
Yes, Tom, it is good for Jenny. I'm very happy for her. Tom, did you mean it when you said once Jenny left, we'd have Will Folger as our cook?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's who we'll get.
Couldn't we get a woman, Tom?
Well, I know there isn't a woman available, honey. And Will can do chores as well as cooking, and he's experienced. He's good.
Yes, I know. I guess it'll be all right. Oh, Tom, I'm going to be so lonely.
Second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. Right now, I'd like to tell you an interesting story about a famous young painter. In the city of Paris, in 1874, there was a young man of great riches and great talent, an artist who knew well all the fashionable techniques of painting, but Edouard Manet was not satisfied to paint in dark studios with muted colors in the ordinary accepted way. He wanted to put sunlight on the canvas, and he dared to do it. And today, his paintings, glowing with the liquid gold of sunlight, are cherished among the world's great treasures. For he had the vision to want more than the ordinary, and the willingness to work to attain it. Now, the people who make Hallmark greeting cards have the same feeling toward their work, and we think the difference shows. They're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Greeting cards that carry warmth and friendliness and affection. Cards that say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. Because remember, those three little words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now act two of tonight's Hallmark story, Eavesdroppers in Eden, starring Susan Peters.
Jenny had gone, the house seemed bigger and emptier and more quiet than ever before. The new cook, Will, never had much to say. Besides, he kept having with a woman. It was especially bad in August during the first land drive of the season, when Tom and the hired men all went miles away on the prairie and gone from the house for a week. My conversation with Will. I remember I carried the baby out to the back porch where he was peeling apples. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Warm, isn't it, Will?
Yeah.
Need any help?
No.
Well, I'll just sit down then. Will?
Matt?
You were in town last night, Will. Did you hear any news?
No.
Nothing at all.
No?
Well, Will, you see, I don't necessarily mean what sort of news, but even about crops or a new machine that someone bought, you must have heard something like that.
No.
Oh. Well, who was in town, Will, last night?
Nobody special.
You don't talk much, do you, Will?
No.
Well, I may as well go upstairs and take a bath and change my clothes. Well, would you mind if I left the baby here? The air and the sunlight are good for him.
Oh.
All right. There you are, baby. Down on the floor. You stay here, darling. And see if Will talk to you. Here's Mummy back already. How's Mummy's little darling? How are you? And where's Will? Did Will go off and leave Mummy's baby all alone? What have you got there? Come on, let Mummy see what's in your hand. Good heavens! Will? Will?
Hey,
well, hurry up! Must never take things like that again, baby. Never, never, never.
Want me, ma'am?
Yes, Will. How long have you been off the porch?
20 minutes, maybe.
Don't you know better than to leave the baby alone like that?
It's yours to do.
You should have called me.
Been alone on the porch before?
Yes, but not alone with a pan full of peelings from green apples.
You been into them?
Yeah, I don't know how many he may have eaten.
Well, it ain't my fault. I ain't hired as no nursemaid. I do everything else, but I ain't no nursemaid.
All right, Will. You're right. Not your fault. Mine for leaving the baby here. I only hope he doesn't get sick. I couldn't be sure how many apple peelings the baby had swallowed. He seemed normal and happy enough. But after I put him to bed that night, I went into the nursery every half hour. He seemed all right until 10 o'clock. He was running a fever. I gave him some water, just a little, and sat beside his crib and watched over him. We were all alone in that house, that sick baby and I. Around us in the darkness stretched miles and miles of prairie on every side. It was midnight, and the baby's small body started to twitch. So you wait, baby. Mommy will be right back. Don't worry, baby. Mommy will be right back. Baldwin, quick.
He ain't here. This is his housekeeper.
I've got to locate him.
He ain't here.
I know that, but where is he? Where can I get hold of him?
He went out on a maternity case not more than half an hour ago.
Yes, but where? Where did he go?
I don't know. Somebody called up all excited like you, only it was a man. So I called the doctor to the phone.
What man was it? Who was calling the doctor?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. All the doctor said to me was maternity case and that he'd probably be gone the rest of the night.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, listen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
This is Mrs. Call out south from town. I'm afraid my baby's having a convulsion. You've got to find a doctor and get him out here.
I don't know where to find him.
I'm all alone. I don't know what to do. Hi, baby.
Mrs. Call.
Hello. Who's coming in on the line? Hello.
You don't know me. I'm Mrs. Johnson. I've been listening. I've had six children. children, and I know what to do for these things. You got any hot water?
Yes, yes.
Put the baby in a warm bath right away and get some cold compresses on his head. My husband's getting out the car this minute, and I'll be up as soon as I can. Hurry now.
If you've ever been alone and ignorant and helpless, with someone you love slipping away before your eyes, you'll know what that message meant to me. I wasn't alone, I told myself. I wasn't alone. Help would be coming along soon. I put the baby in the warm bath. I put the cold compresses on his head. Help would be along soon. Help would be along soon.
I'm here now, Mrs. Paul.
Oh, thank heaven, Mrs. Johnson. Thank heaven. Hi, baby, my little baby. Look at him. Can you save him, can you?
Oh, the poor child. He's rigid. This is serious. Quick, quick, boiling water, towels, and some ice if you have it.
Yes, Mrs. Johnson.
Now, you little baby, we'll take care of you. Don't fret. Don't fret.
She was magnificent. We worked for hours. I, white and shaken. Mrs. Johnson, grimly and with the dependability of the Rock of Gibraltar. Mrs. Johnson, he's all right. Oh, my baby's all right. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Johnson.
Don't thank me, Mrs. Thank the party line. I knew nobody would be ringing town at midnight unless they was in trouble, so I had to get up out of bed and listen.
I couldn't wait until my husband returned from the sheep run the next day. It was late in the afternoon. I saw him from the window, and I ran out to meet him near the road. He took me in his arms, and I gasped out the story of what had happened to our baby and how he'd been saved.
Huey, darling. Gee, it must have been awful for you.
Oh, it was, Tom. The house seemed so big and all this stretch of land outside. When I looked out the window, it was so dark and so forbidding. I knew there was nobody near me, nobody as far as the horizon. Oh, Tom, I've never been so lonely. I've never been so scared.
Honey, we'll have to get someone here to keep you company.
Oh, there's no need of that now. You know, I'll never be lonely again.
You'll never be lonely again? Why not? What do you mean?
Well, I mean... Oh, well, look, Tom, isn't that Harry Mosley's car?
Huh? Yeah, that's Harry. Why?
Harry! Harry! Stop! Stop, Harry!
What are you waving your arms and yelling for?
Stop, Harry!
Hello, Huey. What do you want?
Just
want
to make sure you didn't forget to bring home the bread your wife wanted.
Gosh, I plumb forgot. Say, thanks, Huey. You saved me a long trip.
How did you know that he was supposed to bring bread home?
I was eavesdropping when his wife told him about it.
You eavesdropping?
Absolutely. And that's why I won't be lonely anymore, Tom. You see, I've joined the Brotherhood of the Rural Telephone Line.
Gentlemen, before we call Susan back, I'd like to remind you that next Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day, that gay green day right on the very edge of spring. Now, for those friends you want to say top of the morning to, there's a wonderful selection of Hallmark St. Patrick's Day cards. You'll find cards with the lilt of Irish laughter, the gaiety and charm of Irish wit. Cards with a bit of blarney and sprightly as an Irish jig. So, stop in tomorrow at one of the fine stores that carry Hallmark cards. Look over the whole engaging selection, and you're sure to find a lot of them that'll please you and please your friends. That's because they're Hallmark cards. Cards that say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Remember, Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. And now, once again, here's the star of tonight's show, Susan Peters. Well, Susan and I, for one, have a new respect for the rural party line.
So do I. And I understand the real Huey is listening in on our party line tonight. I hope she enjoyed hearing her story. And now, I'm wondering, as I always do after each Hallmark show, how can you possibly find as good a story for next week?
Well, Susan, we have to give credit to life itself for most of our plots. And next week, our story is a thrilling look into a man's heart. A man who wanted success so desperately, he almost died for it.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Who plays the leading role?
Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, that's even more exciting.
I'll certainly be listening next Thursday night.
And we invite all our friends to be with us next Thursday for the magnificent story entitled One Way to Broadway, starring Jimmy Stewart, and brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Currently be seen in Columbia Pictures' dramatic film hit, The Sign of the Ram. In tonight's story, Susan Peters was supported by Carl Swenson in the role of Tom and Betty Gard as Jenny. Eavesdroppers in Eden was dramatized by Robert Sennadella and was based on the true story by Huey Call, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. And remember that joy and new life belong to Easter and to Easter Seals. For the pennies, dimes, and dollars you put into Easter Seals give crippled children their chance for happy living. Be generous to crippled children. Buy your Easter Seals today. This is Cy Harris inviting you to join us again next week at the same time when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards will present One Way to Broadway, starring Jimmy Stewart.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is KMBC, Kansas City, Missouri.